We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
From Learfield, welcome to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Eagles, Larry Weir.
Welcome to Flight Report. It's where we talk about Eastern Washington University athletics. During these podcasts, I'll talk to coaches, administrators, and occasionally even players or former players. And that's what we're doing today on the edition of Flight Report. During the pregame show of the National Championship football game, I had a chance to record interviews with a lot of former Eagle players. Nick Edwards, Renard Williams, Tywan Jones, Eric Meyer, Ed Simmons. And so today, being as how I'm sure a lot of people missed the pregame show because they went down to Texas to the ball game. So if you missed out on listening to the game on the radio, I'll have all these interviews for you here this week on the podcast so you can hear what former Eagles had to say about Eastern Washington making it back to the national championship game. And the players that played in 2010 will get some of their remembrances of the game in 2010. So that's what we're going to do today here on the podcast. A few things we want to talk about before we get there. The last edition of the podcast we had was prior to Eastern making the announcements of their 2019 and 2020 football schedules. So now we know non-conference next year, Eastern's added a game with Lindenwood, which is a Division II school out of Missouri, as well as a road game at the University of Idaho, which Eastern was not scheduled to play in 2019. Next year, just because of still having North Dakota on the schedule, Eastern's rivalry games are at Montana and at home against Portland State. So we know the five-game home schedule as well, led off by Lindenwood. Portland State, obviously, is the rival game as part of that. Not maybe as attractive a home schedule next year as what Eastern had in 2018 or as to what they'll have in 2020, because in 2020, Montana, Montana State, and Idaho, plus I believe Weber State, will all be on the home schedule for Eastern Washington. So it should be a very interesting 2020 non-conference schedule and conference schedule as well as far as that goes. Eastern football team looking for a new defensive coordinator because Jeff Schmetting resigned last week. He will go to Boise State where he'll coach outside linebackers and be the co-special teams coordinator. So congratulations to Coach Schmetting. He spent roughly 15 years at Eastern and did a fantastic job over his career, both as a position coach, then as special teams coordinator, and finally as defensive coordinator. So he'll be missed, and now the wait is on to see what Aaron Best does to fill the position. He's got two choices, basically. He can stay internal. Brian Strandley is a former defensive coordinator at Idaho State. He's the defensive tackles coach. Maybe it'll be one of the other existing coaches on the staff, or Coach Best could go outside the staff, hire a new defensive coordinator who can also coach safeties in all likelihood, because that's what Coach Smedding handled position-wise for the Eagles. If Coach Best decides to stay in-house with one of the in-house candidates, then a new safeties coach would have to be hired. And there are any number of people who have had ties to Eastern Washington in the past as former players or former coaches who may have an interest in that. I don't know. I'm not going to name names to speculate or put anybody in a bad position in case, you know, of speculation. So I'm not going to name names here, but there are. It would be interesting if Coach Best decided to go internal with the defensive coordinator. What would happen at the safety position if he goes outside? You figure the guy he hires will probably coach safeties. It's possible they might be able to move somebody else from safety and insert that guy into whatever position. But in all likelihood, I would guess that Coach Best would want to fill it with a guy who can coach at the safety position. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also, recruiting is going to be happening as on Wednesday, February 6th, that is the letter of intent signing day, so 2 weeks from tomorrow as I record this and as we get this up on the website for you to listen to. And there will be another event at Northern Quest Resort and Casino, a signing day breakfast. Starts at 7 a.m. on the 6th, and there will be information posted on that online at goeags.com very shortly. Also with football, there is a football awards presentation and a celebration. This will be happening on Saturday, January 26th. That starts at noon at Showalter Auditorium. Cost is $15 per person in advance or $20 at the door. You get hors d'oeuvres. There will be video productions, highlights from the 2018 season. Social hour starts at 11, followed by the awards program at noon. So if you want to buy tickets, they are available. I think there's probably a link on the Eagle Athletic website. So go to goeags.com, and that's another great opportunity to send these seniors off and to salute this team for a fantastic 2018 season. But again, that's happening Saturday at noon at Showalter Auditorium on the EW campus in Cheney. I unfortunately won't be able to be there. I'll be with basketball in Sacramento, but it should be a great event at Showalter Auditorium. And again, you can go to goeags.com. I think there is a link there for you to click on in order to get your tickets for that event this coming Saturday starting at noon. All right, we're going to recap some of the other sports coming up in just a little bit, but let's listen to some of these interviews. And I'm going to start with the guys on the 2010 team played in that national championship game, get some of their remembrances. So we'll hear from Tywan Jones, even though he did not play in the game. We'll also hear from Renard Williams, but we're going to start off with Nick Edwards.
Nick Edwards joins us now here on the pregame show. You had one of the touchdowns. Kaufman had two of the touchdowns, 2010 National Championship game. What are your memories of 2010 and the championship?
Oh, that game was a blur. All I remember was from that game was a couple of third down, fourth down conversions, Kauf scoring big touchdowns, and that was the only game where Delaware was, like, super chippy that game. And, you know, the first half, they had our number. It was 19-0, I believe that was the score. Second half, we came out and we started, like, rolling a little bit. And, you know, defense played great with all those great players that they have on defense that play in the CFL now, and that's doing great things. And I just remember us just being resilient at the end of the day with balling in halftime, didn't yell, didn't, you know, just motivated us in a positive value. And it was great for our team. And, you know, next thing you know, we're, you know, scoring, and next thing you know, we won. It was a great testimony between Coach Baldwin and the guys that, you know, Coach Baldwin recruited to just be resilient.
So you're a guy that was there before green turf, or before red turf, while there was still green turf. You were there when there were 2,000, 3,000 people in the stands, not 9 or 10,000. So how's the program changed in the 6, 7 years since you stopped playing?
Yeah, so I was there when there was a picnic outside on Saturday's afternoon. And now to where it's a situation where guys that are traveling to Frisco, you know, for the first time in, or for a second time, but they're guys that's like, oh, we're going to Frisco. It's like, you know, it's good to see everybody that's, you know, coming and support the program. So where Eric Meyer and Kimball and Jesse Chapman, all those guys and that you know helped out the program to where it is now, then to where, you know, where the 2010 team took it and to where these guys are at now, it's unbelievable the amount of support and the amount of people that are on board with the program, with, you know, from Coach Best to Coach Baldwin to all the way down to, you know, all the other coaches, and, you know, and we're all excited. You know, the first time I get to actually, you know, be excited about the program and truly be a fan, you know, and we're excited about this process. So we're excited.
You got into coaching too while you were at Eastern, and you just left there a couple of years ago to go to Cal. So how's everything at Cal?
Everything at Cal's doing great. You know, we made it a bowl game. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but you know, we went from 5-7 to 7-7 and 7-6 after the bowl game, and you know, we're excited about where we're at. But you know, this place right here is something special. Not only just the talent, it's the commodity between, you know, from the 2012 class to the 2099 class when Bessie played, and all these different classes that can come together and hang out and support, you know, Eagles is, you know, phenomenal. I came here and wore my polo for a reason, because I'm a true Eagle and I love this place with, you know, my heart and my passion. And you know, we're excited about, you know, tomorrow, and you know, I think that, you know, they're going to do a great job and, you know, play their heart out for each other. So we're excited.
Were you surprised at all the guys off of your team that are here?
No, because that's what made us successful. That's what made Eastern who they are today. Is you know, we're all talented individuals, but we're all brothers. You know, from, you know, Taiwan to Brandon Kaufman to Cooper Kupp to Kendrick Bourne to Jesse Chapman to Eric Kimball to Eric Meyer to, you know, Aaron Best to all the way down to the, you know, last person. We're you know, we're excited, you know, about the people that we, you know, have, and it's not surprising the amount of people that we have supported here, because we're all truly genuine excited. So,
head coaching in your future?
I hope so. Hopefully, I can be head coach at Eastern after Aaron Best moves up, after he wins this game in a couple of years, and hopefully I can be the head coach next year at Eastern too. So hopefully we'll see what happens.
Bring in another player from that 2010 team, Renard Williams. What do you remember off that 2010 championship game against Delaware?
I just remember, you know, we had a lot of special talent on that team, you know, and a lot of guys who worked really hard to achieve goals that they set out for themselves, you know, with JC winning the Buchanan Award and Bo Levi actually winning the MVP in that game. So just a lot of talent on that team, and I was happy to be a part of it.
Are you surprised with the amount of people off your team that are here at this game?
I am not. You know, this is something that is really special, and it's hard to get here, you know. So I'm not surprised. I'm happy that a lot of people came and turned out, because this should mean something to every ex-player, and even if you didn't play football, like every ex, what would be the correct term? Anyone who attended EW, you know what I mean? Like, this should mean something to you. So it should be deeper than the game of football. You should be here to cheer on your university. So I'm not surprised at all.
You still fit good in your letter winner jacket.
Yeah. Yes, surprisingly, I do. You know, I'm trying to go jogging and hit the weight room as much as I can. So, yeah, man, just trying to be active and live as long as I can, especially now that I'm getting into having kids and whatnot. So, yeah. Thank you for the compliment.
Yes, that's how I was hoping you would get it that way. That was a compliment, not an insult.
Yes.
So, I mean, how many of you guys on this team do you keep in contact with on a regular basis? And how often do you come to Eastern, to games?
I would say I keep in contact with a fair amount, more so like a lot of more defensive players, because I was a defensive player myself, you know, so... Yeah, more of the defensive guys, but more so like through social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. not so much texting or calling, you know. But my generation doesn't really do that. It's more so, hey, it's easier to send a social media, you know, deal like that. And what was the second question? Sorry, I missed that.
Just how many times, how much do you get to see this team? How often do you come to Cheney? What do you watch on TV, et cetera?
Of course, yeah. So, of course, it's been really, really nice that we've been blessed to have Root Sport cover. So I love watching whenever we're on Root Sport. I didn't make it to any regular season game this year. To be honest, I was really hoping that we would make it here so I could bring my son to this game and have my dad come. So my wish came true, and now this is my first game of the season, first game for my son and my dad.
One of the more iconic touchdowns that have been scored at Roos Field was your touchdown against Montana to seal that win in 2010. Where does that rank as far as memorable plays for you at Eastern?
You know, it's up there because every defensive lineman's dream is to score a touchdown, you know. So it's up there. I don't have a number as far as the ranking goes, but it's up there. But I need to say this because it would be for, you know, it would be for nothing if Jerry Seahaw did not make that play and get the sack fumble. You know, if he doesn't get back there and make that sack fumble, there's no, you know, giddy up horsey. There's none of that. So big shout out to Jerry Seahaw for getting back there and doing what he did all year for us and getting pressure on the quarterback. But yeah, to answer the question, I don't really have a rank on it. It's definitely up there because, like I said, every defensive lineman's dream is to score a touchdown. So it's up there.
Just a few years after the end of your Eastern career, what are you doing these days?
These days, I'm married. I have a son, Renard Jr., who recently turned one in November. I coach at South Kitsap High School, track and field. I no longer do football. I launched a photography business 3 years ago, and football was just eating up a lot of time. You know how that goes with the meetings before and after practice, long film sessions. So, running my business. I work for TRF Banger, so that's a government job. I work on submarines and fix those up. So extremely blessed to have that job because that's a really good source of income and it helps my family out tremendously. So yeah, being a dad, coaching, running a business, and working 40-hour weeks.
So you're working probably 70, 80, 90, 100-hour weeks.
Yeah, I mean, with all that added on there, yeah, it's a lot. But I feel like it keeps me young. It jogs my brain and keeps me active in business, so I like it.
Renard, thanks for the time. Always good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you, Larry.
Okay, Eagle running back Tywan Jones joins us now. And, you know, we're recording this on Friday night at a private deal for former Eagle players, and it's pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's the players everywhere.
It is. Like I was saying, it's exciting to see so many generations in one building, so many guys that I haven't seen in years that I played with. It's kind of cool to everybody can come back and just reminisce of the old times.
I heard there was about 30 guys off your 2010 team that are here for this. So how many guys do you keep in contact with? Not naming names, but do you keep in contact with 5 or 10 guys or what?
Oh, a little more than that. I think we all follow each other on social media, and just every now and then we'll reach out for one another when we see someone get married or have a child or anything big in their life. We constantly reach out. I think our class is a big family, so we kind of stay relevant in each other's lives here and there for the most part.
2010, obviously, championship year. You had a great year, mm-hmm. One of the best years for any running back in Eagle history. But you didn't get to play in this championship game. You got hurt.
Right.
So how difficult was it to sit and watch, and what's it going to mean to you to watch this game here on Saturday?
That game meant a lot to me. I was actually talking to some of the guys, the present guys that's playing tomorrow, and I told them they were asking me about my experience, and I told them it was a little different for me. I was able to lead in a way that I wasn't used to leading. I wasn't able to play on the field, but I was able to, you know, go in there during the halftime when we were down and, you know, just pour my heart out to my team. I kind of told them how, you know, I've been fighting for them all year, but, you know, in this situation, I can't do anything. And, you know, I appreciate if they fight back for me. And that's exactly what our class did. They came out that second half and they fought for me. And, you know, it forced me to lead in a different way. And so to be back here and to see some of these guys and to be able to pour into some of these young guys, it's exciting to see. You know, I'm excited for Eastern Washington.
You're a little busy these days playing in the NFL, but how much can you keep track of Eastern while you're playing?
I don't get to keep track too much, but I do follow them on social media. And like I said, some of the other guys, we still stay in communication. So every time Eastern have a big game or do well, they reach out to me. And even my parents, they're big Eastern Washington fans. And, they told me to tune in to the last playoff games where I got to see the Twins do pretty good. And I got to see one of them tie my record for touchdowns. And that was exciting for me to see, him being a hometown kid just like myself. So it's a lot of history, a lot of connections for me with Eastern Washington.
How far do you go back with the Websters?
We go back. I've got to watch those guys since, pretty much they were in elementary school. I went to school with their older brother, so I've known them for years. And to see them to continue their career with Eastern Washington, it's exciting for me just to see them to further their career and, keep playing the game that they love to play.
All right, so this year in the NFL, you were a part of one of the more publicized hits where you lost your helmet and you took a helmet in the head. So how did that all go, and how did your year go just as far as health, if nothing else?
Leave it up to me. I always have some kind of freak accident. It's crazy. I'm going into my eighth, now my ninth year, and believe it or not, I still feel pretty young. I still managed to be one of the fastest on my team and was able to work in a way to where my team voted me as team captain. So it was kind of unfortunate that, I suffered a hit like that. And even then, I was able to play three games after that. But after they saw the fracture in my neck and our quarterback took an unfortunate hit, just with the roster change, it was the right move for the Bills to put me on IR. Unfortunate for me, but at the end of the day, I'm just happy to be able to walk away from that with my health. And, I got cleared to play, so I'm ready for next year. So I'm pretty excited. I can't complain too much.
Tymon, great to see you as always. Congratulations on a great career so far. I know you have a lot more in you, and we look forward to watching you on Sundays.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad we can come back and meet under these circumstances. And can't wait to see Eastern pull off another one tomorrow.
All right, a couple of other interviews I was able to grab that were not guys on that 2010 team. Former offensive lineman Ed Simmons, an EW Hall of Fame member. He played in Super Bowls with the Washington Redskins. And Eric Meyer, the 2005 Peyton Award-winning candidate who soon will be an Eagle Athletics Hall of Famer.
You had a chance yesterday to go through the stats reception for as last night the Peyton Award winner and the Buchanan Award winner, et cetera, were given out. You had a chance to go to the reception beforehand as a former Peyton winner in 2005. So what was it like for you?
It was nice. It was a social hour, and being able to see, these young players today. I mean, it feels so long ago that, when I was in that situation. But being able to see these young players, these young athletes, do what they love, it was exciting.
13 years ago, you won that award. What does it seem like, a lifetime ago?
It does. I don't even know. I can't remember what I was doing at 25. I kind of have to go back to years now. So what were you doing in 2007, 6? If someone says, what were you doing at the age of 26? I can't even remember. I feel like it's been so long.
All right. So going back through your college days, was there a game for you that was most memorable, in your days at Eastern?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say the 2004 Montana State. Last game of the year for the Big Sky Championship. Eastern, we were, I think it was 6 years, maybe more actually, I think it was about 7 years, but since Eastern won a conference title and, being down 31-10 at halftime, I think it was, and being able to come back, catch up to Montana State when they had a great offense with Travis Lule, and being able to, push that game into overtime and, coming out with that with a win and being able to share the Big Sky Conference Championship was probably the most memorable game I had at Eastern.
And everybody very concerned at that point in time because you went out at one point in that ball game with what we thought maybe was a concussion. So I guess the age-old quote, were you actually, did you cheat the test?
I think a lot back then you were allowed to a little bit, but I just got a little dazed and confused for a second and just had to take a play off, and I guess I was good to go.
So you had a long career in the Arena League especially, so your professional career kind of kept that for us because you won an Arena MVP, you won championships, etc.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, obviously, NFL not working out, but being able to play arena football for 7 years and being able to play back in Spokane for five of those years, it was really fun. It was really neat, to see the following in Spokane and I loved playing for the Spokane Shock and just being in front of all those fans.
Now it's kind of funny because on the Sacramento State roster there is Tristan Meyer, your younger brother. So we've got another Meyer in the Big Sky Conference. It's kind of odd though, he's not in red and white and black, he's in green and gold.
Yeah, he's in green and gold, but you know, he was recruited by Coach Wolf and Coach Sears, who obviously I played for, and so it was good to see them you know, have an interest in and you know, I'm excited to see how his career unfolds and to see what he could do.
All right, so now you are in the coaching ranks these days. You kind of started in that at Eastern along with your playing career. You were with the Eagles for a little bit. You went to Central. Tell us what you're doing now.
So now I'm down at Cal Berkeley coaching on the offensive side. And, you know, Coach Baldwin hired me last year. And, you know, it was exciting to be able to be done with football but not be done with football. And obviously to coach with a guy like Bo Baldwin's been tremendous as far as learning experience and just, you know, just being around him and his positivity and his energy. And like I said, you know, just learning from him has been awesome.
A lot of Eastern representation on that staff between yourself, Nick Edwards, and Coach Baldwin.
Yeah, it is. It's so we got our little trio, and you know we're pretty close, so you know, we're just trying to get that that Eastern magic down over on the Cal offensive side.
Are you enjoying coaching at this point in time?
I am. It's a lot of work and a lot of time, but it's something I've always wanted to do. It's something I love, and I knew when I was done playing, you know, I was going to start coaching.
Eric, thanks for the time. Always great to see you, and enjoy the game here today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Former Eagle offensive lineman Ed Simmons is here. All-American in your days at Eastern, 1985 team. Obviously, the first team Eastern had to make it into the FCS playoffs, or at that time 1AA playoffs. Did you imagine at that point that this program would grow enough to where they're playing for a national championship for the second time and trying to win their second championship?
Well, no, I couldn't imagine it until I seen the progress that Eastern was making when I left. Getting into the Big Sky was a huge step for the program. And I was so ecstatic to see that happen because that was something we were fighting for the whole time I was there.
Your team in 85 laid a lot of that groundwork by beating Idaho in the playoffs. Was that the most memorable game you played as an Eagle?
Pretty much, yes. Until we, you know, went down to Northern, you know, our, where were we at?
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa, and, you know, that game was a winnable game for us, and, you know, we lost, and you hate to have that be your most memorable game, but, you know, good football teams learn from their losses.
What got you to Eastern? Who recruited you? Did they see you on a basketball court? Did they see you on the football field? How'd you get to Eastern?
So the story I remember is Coach Hattemer came down to Seattle, and he saw me play a basketball game. And he got some film from the school, but they said they couldn't see anything on the film. It was too mostly grimy film. And so, you know, I pretty much got recruited as a football player, but from basketball.
And you're a guy that still has your hand in football a little bit now. You're living in the Tri-Cities, right? Are you coaching?
Correct. I am living in the Tri-Cities, but no, I stopped coaching back in 2007 was my last year coaching, so I'm out of it for the past 11 years.
You played over a decade in the NFL. You won a Super Bowl playing with the Washington Redskins. Was that the highlight of your football career, that Super Bowl and winning that Super Bowl?
Really, just my whole entire career was the highlight. But the two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 22 and then Super Bowl 26, when Mark Rippon was quarterback, that Super Bowl 26 was pretty much the highlight.
A lot of your 1985 teammates are here in Frisco. So how often do you guys get together?
This year is going to be our first time, being that the year is only 4 days long. But last year during the season, or this year during the regular season, we got together for the Hall of Fame game when Rick Warman got inducted. And so we vowed to try to get together at least once a year. And this is our, you know, this is our big game.
Is it good to see old teammates?
Yes, it is. There's about 50 of us that I know of are in town. And so it's, I mean, we got together last night, and earlier today we went to dinner, or lunch this afternoon, and everybody's so excited and we're ready to go.
Is this your first championship game? Did you make it in 2010 when Eastern played?
Yeah, I didn't make it in 2010. I was living in Virginia back then. But yeah, this is my first one with Eastern, and I'm excited. I'm sorry that I missed the last one, because they did a phenomenal job in, you know, winning the game at the end of the game. And I wish I would have been there, because that was an exciting game.
2018 Eastern, you've seen them play at least once. What do you think of this football team?
I think they're a good team. You know, with the new coach and everything, you kind of think there's going to be a letdown and everything, but he really impressed me. When the quarterback got hurt, you know, I didn't see a drop-off in performance. And that usually happens, well, not usually, sometimes that happens when another quarterback steps in. People step up their game to, you know, try to help the younger guy out. But I don't think that younger guy needed any help. You know, he does a really good job. And I mean, I like the way they play on defense. They keep everything in front of them. They tackle good. They don't give up a lot of big plays. And that's the key to success.
Ed, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so thanks to all those guys. I hope you enjoyed those interviews. If you did not hear them, if you did hear them during the pregame show prior to the North Dakota State Championship game, I hope you enjoyed listening to them again. All these guys, with the exception of Simmons, I was able to get during the – there was a big blowout involving former football players. There were about 30 members of the 2010 team or thereabouts who were there in Frisco. Some 50 of the 1985 team was there. A bunch of the other guys that bordered that 2010 team that maybe played mid-2000s, like an Eric Meyer, were there. You know, it was just Greg Peach was another one that didn't play on that 2010 team but was there. Some guys that came after were there. It was just a fantastic deal. They did something in the Weston Stonebriar on Friday night where we got most of these interviews. Where former head coach Bo Baldwin was there. A lot of former assistants and former players were there going back into the 90s. J.D. Sollers was there. Chris Hansen was there. He's had a couple of different stints on the Eastern coaching staff. Torresy Smith, who played and coached at Eastern, was there. So it was just wonderful to see a lot of those guys. They were expecting, I think, initially about 75, and then they thought they'd have about 150. And I don't know that anybody had a head count, but it wouldn't have surprised me at all if there was over 200 former players that attended that event on Friday night at the Westin. So it was spectacular. It was great to see all those guys. Once again, I watched and broadcast every game. They all played with the exception of Simmons. He was there before me. And I suppose I can say Eric Meyer, too, because I didn't broadcast the last game of his career in 2005 against Northern Iowa. I was in Anchorage, Alaska, with the basketball team. It was Thanksgiving weekend. We couldn't find anybody to give up their Thanksgiving weekend to go to Anchorage. And so we sent a guy to Cedar Falls for the football game against Northern Iowa on that date. And that game ended the Eagles season. So it was fantastic seeing all those guys. It was great support by the former Eagle players. And just a great event there in Frisco 2 weeks back. Other sports news at Eastern, both the men's basketball and women's basketball teams swept the Montana schools over the past couple of weeks, so fantastic job by them. They are riding two-game winning streaks. The men will play at Portland State on Thursday, at Sacramento State on Saturday. 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock for the tip-off. At 700 ESPN in Spokane, 105.3 FM. You can find them online, 700ESPN.com. You can go to the TuneIn app and listen to that game as well. The Eagle women will host Portland State, and this will be part of the annual Kids' Day game. Starts at 11 o'clock Thursday morning at Reese Court. Nearly 4,000 school-age kids will be on campus, taking a tour of campus in the morning, then going to Reese Court, watching the game starting at 11. It's a great atmosphere. The numbers are rising every year, and they're going to be close to 4,000 this year. They were somewhere over 2,500 to 3,000 last year. And so it's just a great event. If you can take some time during lunch, head on out to Cheney, watch this ball game. I think you'd be entertained. A, the Eagle basketball team, the women are pretty good. And B, just the atmosphere within the arena is going to be fantastic. So that's happening Thursday morning at 11. The women will then host Sacramento State Saturday starting at 2. As always, for men's or women's tickets, go online to GoEags.com and click on the tickets link. Also, tickets are now on sale for the doubleheader. The Eagle men and women will play the University of Idaho on Reese Court. That'll be Monday, February 18th. It's a holiday for some anyway. And so it's President's Day. And so tickets are now available by going to GoEags.com. Women start at 2, men start at about 4:15 with that ball game. Eagle men's tennis team is underway with their fall dual or their spring dual meet season. They went down to California, lost to a couple of California schools. They will be at Seattle on Sunday. Men's and women's indoor track and field continues to prepare for the Big Sky Conference indoor meet, which will be happening in late February. They went to Washington State, won 4 individual titles, all on the men's side. 2 of them by Keyshawn McGee, who is an outstanding long and triple jumper. He swept those events. In Pullman, second straight week he has done that, and the Eagle men's and women's indoor teams will go to the University of Washington for a meet coming up this weekend. You can listen to the Flight Report in many different ways. Go to GoEags.com, click on the Fan Zone, then on Flight Report with Larry Weir, you can listen from there. Or if you're a regular podcast consumer, you can subscribe, and that way it's downloaded into your device as soon as I turn one of these things out. Or you can just listen through most of the major podcast sites like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and iHeartRadio. Don't forget, Eagle men's basketball in action at Portland State Thursday night, at Sacramento State Saturday night. Pregame show start at 6:30, tip-off at 7 o'clock. Eagle women at home taking on Portland State Thursday morning at 11, Sacramento State Saturday afternoon at 2. If you can't be there to Reese Court, you can view it on Pluto TV or watchbigsky.com. And if you want to go to the game, get your tickets in advance, go to GoEags.com and click on the tickets link. Thanks for listening to this week's Flight Report. I'm Larry Weir.
You've been listening to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.